Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Joseph Lindsley sent this music to us. Let's go to Ukraine. Joe, I think I know why you're in a Swedish mood today.
Indeed, Bob. Hello from Lviv. This is a song called Falcons by Swedish singer Amanda Bergman. And it's relevant today for a couple of reasons. Obviously, yesterday, as of yesterday, the Kingdom of Sweden, after centuries of neutrality, is now in a military alliance for the first time in centuries, now a part of NATO. And in fact, the Swedish Prime Minister was the only leader, the only foreign leader at the State of the Union. And this song, I thought, was good to share by Amanda Bergman, the Swedish singer, because the last night I was in a country other than Ukraine, I was in Sweden. It feels like, you know, it was ages ago, before a war and before a pandemic, March 2020. Many countries were already shutting down because of the pandemic, but Sweden was free. And, you know, I used to go to Sweden every midsummer in that time when there was no darkness. And then I would go every winter way north on an annual dog sledding expedition, usually with just only 1 or 2 hours of sunlight. And so this was early, I think it was the first day of March 2020. I was due to fly out to Lviv the next day. I had just been up in the Arctic, and I was going to Ukraine to speak at a media conference. And there was this private party I attended at the second oldest restaurant in the world called Den Gyllene Friden, which means the Golden Peace. And that restaurant is owned by the Swedish Academy, which is the committee that chooses the winners of the Nobel Prizes. And a friend of mine in Stockholm had just become head chef of this second oldest restaurant in the world, and he was having a party there. The singer who we just listened to, Amanda Bergman, was there, and she was singing. And it was, you know, before pandemic and before war, you know, we didn't know it, but that night was like a last view of a time that maybe we realized was much better than we could have realized at that time. Sort of that end of an era before this new era of global turmoil. And that restaurant, which opened in 1722, is called the Golden Peace because of a peace treaty called the Peace of Nystad, which is a treaty between Russia and Sweden. And this is in the early 1700s. And it in that treaty, it brought the Baltic nations under Russian rule, but it protected Sweden and Finland. And by maybe about 80 years later, but by the early 1800s, Sweden had stopped going to war. I think 1814 was the last time they went to war. They did. They even used to fight here in Western Ukraine, but they swore it off and they became a neutral country. And so they had this golden peace for two centuries. And, you know, it's interesting that, you know, the Swedes for many years have felt the possible threat of Russia. But there's this, you know, the Swedes actually have more of a claim to that ancient title Rus or Russian than Russia does. The ancient Rus people, they're a Viking race. They came from what is now Stockholm, and they sailed down and they founded what is now Kyiv. And Rus means rower. And on the sewer caps of Kyiv City, you see the image of the three Viking rowers and their sister, the original Rus people who founded Kyiv. And in fact, in the Finnish language, they preserve this idea. They don't call Russia Russia. They call it something like Venäjän. But they call Sweden Ruotsi, which preserves that idea that the Swedes are the real Rus people. And in the 1500s, the Dukes of Moscow, they wanted to build an empire. They were kind of on the edge of, they were on the edge of Europe, sort of half Mongol, you know, trying to become more European. And they wanted to claim the lineage of the Rus, the Kievan Rus, which became a great, you know, a great city, and that, you know, the great system of law and peace in centered in Kyiv. And so the Moscow dukes and princes unilaterally declared themselves prince of all Rus, even though they were far away from Kyiv. And then they even tried to claim the title of Rome. They began calling themselves Tsar, as in Caesar. And so this sort of shows us a little bit of how long these struggles have been going on. And yesterday, as you know, we were preparing to watch the State of the Union, which I didn't. I stayed up until the first minute, and I went to sleep. But I ran into a Swedish friend here in Lviv, and I said, "Congratulations on NATO." And he wasn't very enthusiastic. He said, "Well, we had no choice. You know, it's sad because we were totally free and independent. We liked our neutrality. But now, because of Russia, you know, we have no choice. And, you know, probably the USA is going to be controlling us in ways we didn't want. But the main thing is that they're protected. And if you watch, I did go back and watch a moment when Joe Biden, President Biden, in his State of the Union last night, when he welcomed the Swedish prime minister. And it was presented as a triumph. You know, the prime minister was smiling. President Biden said, you know, the Swedes know how to fight. I mean, it's been 200 years, but he said they know how to fight. And it was presented as a triumph, and most people were clapping, except for probably the Speaker of the House. Watching it from here, it's hard to see it as a triumph. It's more of a false triumph, disguising how the West is losing resolve. I mean, here they are praising Sweden as the fighters, when every day in the trenches, Ukrainians are trying to hold the line for freedom, for Europe, for the civilized world. And there's not even a representative of Ukraine there. And it's like we've moved on from discussing the most difficult problems and trying, everyone who's not yet in the fight, trying to get in the club of safety, which does not necessarily send an image of strength to Russia. And in fact, the image of strength toward Russia came yesterday from President Macron of France. And this is surprising to a lot of people. But his rhetoric is getting tougher. And, you know, reflecting on the Russian attack on Odessa when Zelensky was there with the Greek prime minister, Macron said that if Russians try to break through the lines and try to move toward, say, Odessa or Kyiv, that would be a red line for France. And he's trying to imply that maybe the French would even send military here. So we do see that strength in the rhetoric. But by the way, no one talks about what would happen to Kharkiv or cities closer to the front. So there's a lot of confusion. I would say there's not a sense of triumph about Sweden joining NATO.
The president did talk about supporting Ukraine practically right off the bat in his speech last night, and I imagine you'll be hearing about that today, and people probably will be happy about that, Joseph. And when you get a chance to watch the whole speech, I think you will be as well.
Well, this was the question: is, you know, the rhetoric is nice, but there are things that the White House could do, and they have done it before. There's weapons they could send right now. There's ammunition they could send right now. And they choose not to do it. They choose to use the rhetoric of as long as it takes rather than victory and defeat of the Russian Federation. That hasn't changed. And I think this is why we start to see European leaders getting more and more scared. I mean, like, that's what I saw with Sweden running to NATO. It's because they're terrified. Macron's rhetoric is getting stronger because he's terrified. He's really seen that this could get much, much worse. This is just the beginning. And we've seen for 2 years now, you know, the Republicans don't want to spend money on it, but perhaps part of that's because they can't see a clear vision for victory. A lot of them are being unserious right now. But you have to see some leadership. And, you know, the simple question, why, you know, the White House sent 39 HIMARS, most of them in 2022, these long-range missile systems, and they sent 17 Attackans last fall. And those worked really well. But then why nothing more? There's not a single peep about it. Instead, there's a blame game. And this is still concerning, I think. I don't think people took too much confidence in those words yesterday.
Interesting. Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine, I appreciate the, and I think we all enjoyed the Swedish history lesson today, Joe. You are the world traveler, and we benefit from that.
thanks for indulging my memories of traveling the world before the pandemic.
It's educational. We'll talk on Monday.
Until Monday. Thank you, Bob.